Lyle Pressler, punk rock legend and music industry vets. Jim Shear, most tenured VJ in the history of music television. Two men on one mission to talk about music. And it all starts now.
Hello there, everybody. My name is Jim Shear.
And I'm Lyle Pressler.
So on today's episode, Beyonce clarifies that she is not anti-police. Avicii retires at the tender age of 26 years old. I should say he retires from touring. The Rolling Stones are working on a new album. Drake teams up with Jay-Z and Kanye West. But let's begin with Guns N' Roses. Well, I shouldn't say Guns N' Roses hasn't reunited because they've been touring for years, but the triumvirate of Duff, Axl, and Slash played together for the first time in 23 years. Woo. So here is how the story goes. On April Fool's Day, yes, April 1st, Guns N' Roses played a surprise concert at LA's Troubadour, the venue in which Guns N' Roses played their very first gig back in 1985.
So they
like
say.
I said, yeah, like, I mean, it might have been in a basement, right?
Yeah,
but
probably,
I guess their first official
was, yeah.
gig yeah. happened in the Troubadour. Now, as I said, for the first time in 23 years, the lineup featured Axl, Slash, and Duff. Fans began waiting in line at 4 a.m. on Friday, and a concert flyer said that the show was happening sometime after 11 p.m. Now, my question is, what if this was some type of sick April Fool's Day joke?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, an estimated 500 fans attended the show. Guns N' Roses actually took the stage a little past midnight, which is good for Axl. They were not allowed to record the show, so cell phones were put in magnetic bags that were handed out at the venue.
Magnetic bags? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever.
So Guns N' Roses played songs from every era, including the title track from Chinese Democracy.
Which is crazy.
Now, the band looked tour ready. There's a couple videos that were taken from the upper deck. So I'm assuming a VIP.
They didn't have magnetic bags up there because the magnetic part didn't work. The further you get from the Earth's core, the worse it becomes.
So from the short videos that were taken, the band looks tour ready. Axl sounded great. Duff looked great. And Slash was indulging
Why
on longer
Duff
solos.
Why wouldn't Duff look great? Like, Duff doesn't do it. What does Duff do? Like, of course he's going to look great.
I mean, he could look horrible, though.
No, he wouldn't look horrible.
I mean, he could eat Twinkies all day.
But he doesn't do that.
No. I mean, he looks good. Lyle, yeah. He looks good
I know,
in a
he cut-off looks great.
Shirt.
Yeah, he looks great, and he has hair and the whole thing, you know? It's fantastic.
I'm sensing some jealousy here.
Oh, no, I have no jealousy for Duff. Izzy, I'm jealous of, and he didn't even participate, so there you go.
So Axl had 5 wardrobe changes, one which included his signature red bandana, okay. And at the end of the encore, during Paradise City, fans began pushing themselves onto the stage. Axl yelled, "Stop!" The crowd immediately obliged, and then he looked at Duff, and he said, "Keep going."
And?
Now, this is news because old Axl would have probably stormed off the stage and not said to Duff, "Keep going." He might have looked at Duff and said, "That's it. We're done."
Maybe he was saying, "Keep going. Keep playing the song." I mean, I don't know. What
so,
does that mean?
He's turned a new leaf.
Okay, cool.
So That's if great. You attend one of these Guns N' Roses tour stops, you will probably get a full set.
That sounds fantastic. And looking at the actual set list, which I have here, it's a good set list. It's really good. And there's a couple things. I have a couple comments about the set list, though.
Okay.
I don't really.
You want to go down the set list?
No, I mean, I don't want to. I mean, we can go down it. I mean, it's pretty much what you'd expect. You said, you know, they played Chinese Democracy third. They played It's So Easy first, Mr. Brownstone, Chinese Democracy, Welcome to the Jungle, of course. Mm-hmm. Double Talk and Jive. They played Live and Let Die, which is their version of Paul McCartney's song, which contains the worst grammatical lyric in the history
of the world.
We've talked
about this.
Yes, we have. And you can go check it out and don't believe what he says now about what he actually said, because he actually said it. Rocket Queen, which is a great song from Appetite for Destruction. I believe it's on there. And by the way, look up Rocket Queen and try to figure out what that refers to, because I tried and it's just, you just get into all sorts of stuff. You Could Be Mine. They did the Godfather theme. It's a little bit odd. They did Sweet Child of Mine. They did New Rose by The Damned, which, I mean, I'm a huge Damned fan. And if you like The Damned, you know, and if you've ever heard them do it, it's pretty good. They did Better. They did Knocking on Heaven's Door, obviously, Bob Dylan. They did My Michelle. They did Night Train, which is one of my favorite songs that they ever did. And I just like to quote a lyric from it, which I believe I have right. And the lyric is, "Wake up late and honey, put on your clothes and take your credit card to the liquor store," which sounds to me like heaven, if you can manage that. And then they went on and they did The Seeker from The Who, which is, again, another one of my favorite songs. The Seeker is a great song. And then they finished with Paradise City, which would make a lot of sense. But, you know, Guns N' Roses have always been a great band, and I'm glad to see them back doing what they're doing, even though I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But if they want to do it, then do it. And I just hope that, because they have a lot of tour dates planned, don't they, Jim?
I mean, a lot of tour dates planned, and this weekend they are set to perform at Coachella.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say this weekend. Next weekend they're playing at Coachella.
Next weekend, but are they doing, I thought they were doing Vegas in between, maybe?
They might be.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't looked at all of their tour dates.
It's interesting. Like, if they survive Coachella, then maybe that's a good sign that they're going to continue. My only thing is that I'm not so sure, given the history of the band, that they're going to make it all the way through.
This, to me, is unbelievable that Axl is playing with Slash.
I know.
Because it wasn't that long ago. I'll give an example of how the two camps hated each other. I worked for a certain media company, and we scored an interview with Axl Rose. So to lead up to that interview, we were going to play a Guns N' Roses concert. Mm. And we actually aired commercials saying, "Hey, before the big interview, watch this Guns N' Roses concert." Slash's people caught wind of the commercial, and they said, "Oh, no, you're not going to show any type of Guns N' Roses concert." And
really?
they made us pull the concert. So we had the interview, but no Guns N' Roses concert to show. And this was just a couple of years ago. So Avicii, at the tender age of 26 years old, announced via an open letter on his website that he is retiring from touring and performing live once he finishes his 2016 commitments.
Right.
In the letter he wrote, "I know I am blessed to be able to travel all around the world and perform, but I have too little left for the life of a real person behind the artist."
Right.
In the letter, he also explained that he took a road trip with his friends across the U.S., which helped him see his life in a new way. And he also ended the letter by posting his phone number and apologizing if he's not super quick to reply.
That's really fast. My understanding is that he has some pretty serious health problems. So, you know, that's what I've heard, is that it's actually a physical thing. Yeah, I've heard that he has some internal issues, which probably explains, you know, why one would retire from that. And by the way, at his young age and with medical technology, who knows? I mean, he might change his mind, you know, 5 years down the road. But I love the fact that he posted his phone number. I mean, have you tried calling it?
I haven't. Maybe
I know,
because
we're all like sitting there going, like, I thought about it last night. I was like, why don't I call this number? But then I was thinking, like, well, but then what if he answered? What would I have to say? I mean, "Hey, man. Hey, it's Lyle Pressler. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me." But okay. I wish him the best. I'm hopeful that any of the physical issues he has will get resolved quickly.
Yeah. So Avicii will continue to make music. He just will not tour after 2016. And who knows? Maybe 20 years from now, he does make a comeback.
I hope so.
For anyone who thought Beyoncé's music video Formation or her Super Bowl performance sent an anti-police message, she clarified things in a recent interview with Elle magazine, saying, "I'm an artist, and I think the most powerful art is usually misunderstood. But anyone who perceives my message as anti-police is completely mistaken." She later added, "I have so much admiration and respect for officers and the families of officers who sacrifice themselves to keep us safe. But let's be clear, I am against police brutality and injustice. Those are two separate things."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the first part that you read, which said that great art, so the first problem I have is that she's actually saying that her art is great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the first thing. You know, don't ever declaim what you do. Let other people do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just not, you know, you're never going to be, I know this. We live in this world of like constant hype, and so I have to hype up what I do. My stuff is the best. I have the best clothes. I have the best hair. I have the best this. I have the best, you know, fine. But if you really want to be taken seriously, let other people say how great you are. Don't say it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's number one. Number two is that, yeah, you're against police brutality. Well, that's like saying I'm against stepping on a cat. You know, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, like, maybe she should have taken a little bit more time to explain the imagery that was in her video.
Well, keep in mind, it was an interview for Elle magazine.
No, that's fine.
So it's not like Rolling Stone interviewed her.
But at the same time, Jim, I mean, you know, this is now, we're how many months away from the protest? 2, 3? Like, she hasn't said anything up until now, and she decides to do it in Elle magazine?
Well, I'm sure she was. The interviewer probably asked her about it.
Well, I'm sure the interviewer did.
So it's not like she said, "Elle magazine, come here. I've got to explain my stance." And also, the Formation World Tour kicks off in a couple of weeks.
I think you just love her.
I know you're not the biggest fan.
No, I think she's a great artist, and I think that if she wanted to clear this whole thing up, she could have done it more timely. And she could have like made more statements. I mean,
the thing about this story is that she probably saw this coming.
Yeah, but because she didn't see it coming.
Lyle, in the freaking song, she says, "You know, you that bitch when you cause all this conversation." So she knew this was going to cause conversation.
Right, but then why didn't she address it like 2 months ago?
Maybe her art was addressing it.
Yeah, her great art.
So,
okay.
So in case you were wondering, Beyonce is not anti-police.
I'm sure she's not.
So on to Taylor Swift. Did you see her latest commercial?
From the sublime to the ridiculous.
Did you see her latest commercial for Apple Music?
I did indeed. The one where she falls off the treadmill.
So she is preparing to run on her treadmill. She either turns on her iPod or iPhone, and she clicks on Drake and Future's Jumpman, and then she begins running on her treadmill while she raps along to the song, and at the end of the commercial, Taylor loses her footing and comically falls on the treadmill.
Right.
So did you know, since that commercial aired, Drake's iTunes sales shot up 431%.
Really?
Wow. She's got the freaking Midas touch.
Yeah, absolutely. But now, also, we were talking about this before. I think that Empire of the Songs, Empire of the Sun song that's on a Honda commercial, like that's like 8 years old.
Yeah,
I think it's on Astroworks actually. Mm-hmm. It's an Australian, and it exploded, and now you hear it on the radio. So yeah,
it's funny. 15 years ago, artists would question whether or not they should use music in commercials.
Okay, I'll give you a brief history of this whole thing.
Okay.
The first group to do this was the Del Fuegos. Mm-hmm. Del Fuegos were a Boston sort of, you know, rock act. And they had a little bit of like alternative credibility, and they decided to do a Bud Light commercial. I think it was Bud Light.
Mm-hmm.
And it ruined their career. Just, I mean,
yeah,
the reaction was mm-hmm. that now that was 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then the next big milestone in this whole thing was when Microsoft introduced their new software, and they wanted to get REM, It's the End of the World as We Know It. And REM said no. So they got the Rolling Stones, Start Me Up, mm-hmm. for $15 million. I think it was 15. And that was huge, right? And mm-hmm. the next milestone was Led Zeppelin doing Been a Long Time Since I Rock and Rolled for Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the three basic milestones to commercial use. And once those things sort of happen, and actually, I mean, it's kind of, I mean, the Zeppelin thing was kind of in the middle of everything happening. But once those things happened, I mean, everybody, it didn't matter anymore. It didn't matter. I mean, like, I've heard, you know, Gang of Four. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's to me, it's just...
Because the conversations I had, say, 10 years ago...
Yeah.
Are a lot different than the conversations I have today, because I will speak with bands,
right?
And they say, "I really hope we can get a commercial out of this."
Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing? Because I knew this guy in Train, and they actually had a song that came out, like, I think it was for one of the wireless services, and it actually came out before it even came out. It was on a commercial, and I said to him, "I said, like, doesn't this disgust you?" And he's like, "Yeah, but I mean, it's a lot of money."
So a couple other news items before we go to break. Janet Jackson has been postponing her tour, I think, multiple times. She recently revealed that she is planning a family.
Oh.
So it's unclear if she's trying to get pregnant or is pregnant, but she says the doctors told her to rest up.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Okay. You had an update on the Kesha story?
Yes, actually, there is an update on the Kesha story. Kesha has publicly claimed that, and I'm extrapolating a little bit here, but that essentially Sony told her that if she would recant, essentially, for those of you who don't know what the word recant means, she would retract her statements about Luke, Dr. Luke, and she would say that, in fact, she was lying, and that he never touched her, and et cetera, that they would, and I have no idea what the parameters would be for her recant, but that if she did that, they would release her from her contract, which is interesting because they've claimed that they can't release her because they actually don't have her under contract. So the whole thing,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, they say like, well, we can't release you because even if you win, we can't release you because we're actually just the distributor for Dr. Luke's label, and therefore you have a contract with them and not with us, which, you know, the whole thing just seems ridiculous.
Right. But she's not recanting?
No, she said under no circumstances, I don't care what it is that you would offer me, I would never be willing to say that did not happen. And we've talked about Kesha a lot, and you know, as I think I've told you, my heart and my gut goes with her. Mm-hmm. I'm just really hopeful that I'm not, you know, being sold something that isn't really true. Like on the one hand, I wish it wasn't true, but if in fact this did, I hope that she's telling the truth. I think
that's
basically what I'm saying.
And then before we go to break, yesterday at the Apollo Theater, there was a tribute to Fife Dog from A Tribe Called Quest. Andre 3000 said some words on Fife, and he mentioned that there was talks of A Tribe Called Quest and Outkast doing an album together.
Oh, really?
And they never got on the same page. They never found the time to do it, so it never happened.
Oh, that's too
bad. But imagine that.
That
would have been great.
That would have been really amazing.
So we are going to take a break, and when we come back, Lyle and I will turn on the Care-O-Meter.
Yeah.
Right now, we are going to turn on the carometer. There we go. So on a scale of 1 to 10, Lyle, tell me how much you care about the following stories.
Okay.
Story number one, Apple has been granted a patent for technology that can automatically censor a song. Mm. The technology can identify an explicit word and censor it with a beep, audio drop, or washout. No word if Apple will adopt the technology and what it will actually be used for. Some say it could also be used as a setting for parents filtering music for their kids. And podcasts such as this one could also be censored using that technology. Listening back to some of our shows, you like to throw around that F word from time to time, Lyle.
Yeah, that's true. I do. I mean, I think if the carometer is on right now, I think if it's a 10, it's a 10 if you are one of these people like me who likes to throw on the F-bomb. I think for the rest of the people in the world, it's a 0. It's like, it's who cares? I mean, will they adopt it? Even if they adopted it, will anybody else?
Well, on my carometer, I give it a 6.
Do you really? Why?
Because there's times where I will DJ weddings.
Okay.
And in a pinch, you want to throw on a song and you're like, I hope this isn't the bad version. So if I can know for sure that it's the clean version, or sometimes when you're at a wedding, you know, people will say, oh, yo, play this song. And you've never heard it before. So with this technology, I could, you know, I would have peace of mind that no explicits were being flown out at this wedding.
From a selfish standpoint, if you were to apply this technology to Minor Threat, it would be, you couldn't even listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it would just be beep, 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 beep.
Yes.
And the other thing is, I want to know is,
it would sound like the actual carometer.
Yeah, exactly. Would it be a dropout or a beep? Like, can you select it? See, that would be really cool. Like, you could select it. So you could, I mean, could it get so sophisticated? So if I said fuck, it could say freak?
Maybe.
Well, see, that's the thing, man.
All right. So the next story, Drake recently debuted 2 new songs from his forthcoming album, Views from the Six. One featuring The Throne, which is Jay-Z and Kanye West, titled Pop Style. Let's take a listen. That's that Chicago. South, south, side, that's the motto. Copper crib is spent $10 million on remodel. Take the devils out my life and preach the gospel. Cause I know we went way, way past the... So the album could come out at any time. The chatter is that it will be out this month. So Drake doing a song with Jay-Z and Kanye. What's that rank on your carometer?
Is that actually a digital version of nauseating? That's kind of where I am with that. The problem with all this stuff is I don't even know what we're talking about. I mean, in all seriousness, it's like, okay, so Kanye, who can't finish a record, who's just like, you know, constantly revamping a record, and then Jay-Z, who just, I don't know, I'm not sure what that's all about either. And then all of a sudden Drake, and by the way, didn't they all hate Drake at one point? Hate the Drake. Didn't they all hate the Drake at some point? And now everybody loves the Drake again? Like Rihanna loves the Drake. Everybody loves Drake.
See, on my carometer, this is, I guess, to keep it in the theme with Views from the Six. I'll give it a 6 because you've got 3 of the big players in the game. Along.
Listen, from that standpoint, absolutely. I mean, give it a 6. Yeah, fine. Okay.
Yeah, and if I was a 17-year-old kid, I would give it a 10. I mean, my carometer would be overloading right now.
If you were a 17-year-old kid right now, you would not care. You'd be into something completely different. There's no way you'd care about this.
Wait, me as a 17-year-old?
Maybe you're right. Yeah, Jim Shearer, right. As a 17-year-old kid.
Okay, wow. You know what? You're actually right. But if I was like,
average 17-year-old kid, like that imaginal, that unbelievably, you know, perfect 17-year-old child. It's like when I lived in Sweden, people would say to me like, so what does the average American think about? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Seriously.
The average American, Drake is number 10 on their carometer.
There you go. So now we're moving on, aren't we?
Yes. Ronnie Wood confirmed that the Rolling Stones are working on a new studio album, their first since 2005's A Bigger Bang. Ronnie said they've recorded some new songs, but have also been on a blues kick covering 11 blues songs. So my carometer mile is two.
What? Two?
Is two. Yeah.
You even give it a two?
Yeah, I mean, it could be their last album. So what's it on your carometer?
I guess I could go with your two. I mean, listen, I don't have any ill will against these people. I mean, you know, it's like, they do what they do, and that's it.
Do you have some birthdays today?
I do. I have some really, really quick birthdays. What do I have here? Oh, yes, I have... The aforementioned, in another version of this show, I mentioned Merle Haggard, mm-hmm. who is 79 years old today. And Merle,
79?
79. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And for those of you who don't know, Merle is one of the really great original country music people. Happy birthday, Black Francis from the band Pixies, who is mm-hmm. 51 years old today. And this is my favorite, Udo Dirkschneider, who is the singer from Accept. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Balls to the Wall. Come on. Okay. Y'all know what Balls to the Wall is. He is 64. And so Udo, kudo.
So the number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 this week, Work, from Rihanna featuring
really?
Drake.
Really? Really? I mean, we could be talking about this 20 years week. From now. It's like, yeah. So Jim, what's the number one single? Well, it's called Work.
Number one album on the Billboard 200, Mind of Mine from Zayn. The number one song on iTunes, Pop Style from Drake featuring The Throne, which is Jay-Z and Kanye West. The number one album on iTunes, Traveler from Chris Stapleton. That is the ACM bump. And the number one song on Spotify this week, our favorite, Work from Rihanna featuring Drake. When we come back, Lila and I have our picks of the week.
Hey, what's up? Driving back home from Connecticut, listening to your podcast. Lila and Jim. Hey, when are you going to be able to take a caller? When did it call in? But these are recordings. You need to be able to take callers when you're doing your pod bean. So I can do a little comment. You got to take callers. Then you got to put me on hold for like half hour. And you're like, oh, I got to get these callers. We take five calls. I'll take a couple. You get a couple. Yeah, you got to include the listeners, man.
Hey, everybody. Jim Shear with Lyle Presler. It is time now for our music picks of the week. And don't hate me for this, Lyle, but for a second week in a row, I'm going Weezer.
You're going back to the well.
Mm-hmm. So my pick of the week this week is called Wind in Our Sail from Weezer. Reminds me of an ELO song. So let's listen to it right now. Wind in Our Sail.
A boy and a girl, albatross around their necks, hands burning from the rope, ship stranded in the tropics. Acidification wiped out the tiger shark. Let's try to save their souls and trust the man with the Torah. Slicing waves at 40 knots, cumulonimbus.
All right.
No,
did you like?
You're right. It does.
Did you like?
Well, I did like. I liked it a lot, and I think it does have an ELO component to it. I think, I you know, again, we talked about lyrics, and I'm a lyric guy, so I like the fact that he says like Darwin on the Beagle.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, we're talking about Charles Darwin, the progenitor mm-hmm. of that horrible, terrible concept of evolution that a lot of people don't believe in. And the Beagle was his ship
mm-hmm.
that he sailed to, I think, Galapagos Islands? Wasn't that where he went? I like that. And we've talked about this before. Like, I think if you can work in obtuse lyrics like that and make it work in a song, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think,
I like pushing the stone up the hill, and if it rolls back down, whoa, Sisyphus,
right.
It rolls back down.
I mean, if you can put Sisyphus, I mean, I'm reminded of Sting, who worked in Mephistopheles,
mm-hmm.
in Wrapped Around Your Finger, right? And then I think the other one is R.E.M., who did Trying to Prove Your Business Acumen into a song. Acumen, which, I mean, if you can do that, if you can do it and not make it sound like it stands out like a, you know, like a red flag, like, look, I'm smart.
Yeah, because to me,
if you can do it, then great. You're a champion songwriter at that point.
He could have said, if things go bad, oh, well, we got each other. But, you know, he
right.
says, pushing
he
the stone up the hill. And if it rolls back down, whoa, Sisyphus, it rolls back down.
I love it. That's great.
So you were having trouble this week?
I was having a little trouble. I was having a little trouble because I you know, I like to, I mean, obviously I could just pick out some obscure like punk thing and play.
Yeah, you could go oldie.
Yeah,
I mean,
not even oldie. I could go newy and it would
okay.
just, but it would still be obscure and I, you know, but I think that for the purposes of what we're doing here, I don't think that's really a good idea. And so I actually resorted yesterday. I had my daughter and her friend in the car, and they're both 9 years old. And I said, can you guys tell me what you think is a really good new song? And my daughter said, oh, is this for your podcast? Which was embarrassing. But in any event, they said some things, and they came up with stuff that I was like, first of all, that's not new. And they mm-hmm. like Shawn Mendes. So they were like, they were giving me the Shawn Mendes routine. And, you know, we can talk about Shawn Mendes another time. But in any event, they couldn't come up with anything. So I searched around, and so I found a couple things. Well, I think maybe I'll save one for maybe next time. I had a couple. But what I came up with is a track from M83,
mm-hmm.
which, for those of you who don't know, it's like it's sort of an, I guess, do you think it's an EDM kind of thing? Is it EDM? A little bit. It's Anthony Gonzalez,
like Kansas,
right?
But he's more alternative.
Yeah, he's more alternative, but it's a little bit like that. And so the song is called Go.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
Yeah, and it features a French singer who's actually Asian. Her name is, and I want to say this, I think it's Maylan, or actually mm-hmm. it's Mylan, I think. It's Mylan, because
okay.
May would be M-E-I. I think it's M-A-I, but I'm not sure. But the surprising thing is
that you're going with
it
this.
Features a crazy guitar solo by Steve Vai.
Yes.
And we'll talk
about
that.
I read about this.
We'll talk about that after you hear it.
You meet me at the station. Can't get you still patience. This time could just be a bit shortened. Between us 6 million seasons. Gotta run and make it or die. We'll be right back.
Wow. Lyle. What are you talking? That was a great pick of the week.
Well, you know,
From MA3.
And the thing about it, like I've actually liked MA3 in the past, but I'd sort of forgotten that I liked it. It's one of those things where, you know, there's so much stuff that happens. But the thing about it is like, and we've talked about this before, but like I'm not like a guitar geek guy. Like I don't, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm impressed by these people, but you know, whatever. Like, I'm not sitting there going like, you know, you know, you talked about hammer-ons and whatever. But Steve Vai is an interesting guy, I think. And that rhymes, so it's cool. he actually, what people don't know is that when he was 18 years old, he was actually the transcriber, which means to take what the person's doing and actually write it down. He was the transcriber for Frank Zappa. At 18.
Whoa.
Okay, that's kind of crazy. That's like apprenticing to, you know, think about it. It's like apprenticing to Steve Jobs, basically. Mm-hmm. He played, the way most people know his playing is from David Lee Roth, because he played on his solo records. But the interesting thing, and the reason why I've always liked Steve Vai, even though he has long hair and plays doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, is that he actually played on the PIL album, Public Image Limited album.
Wow.
That's the name of the record, album. He plays on a song called Ease, which is a great song, which kind of conjures a kind of fabulous, like, rollicking Zeppelin-like sound. And he plays on that and plays a crazy guitar solo on that. And at the time, I thought that was the most amazing thing because, I mean, here's this guy who comes from a completely different musical idiom playing on John Lydon's record. And the connecting point of all that is Bill Laswell. For those of you who don't know, Bill Laswell is a musician, producer, worked with a lot of different people, and one of the coolest people you would, if you ever got a chance to meet Bill, he's one of the coolest people out there. I had an opportunity to meet him years and years ago. He's a wonderful producer. He's produced a lot of different stuff, and he's zany and crazy, but he's the one sort of introduced Steve Vai to John Lydon, which is kind of a weird connection. But the fact that M83 has gone and done this and put him on it, and you know, I'm not a guitar solo guy, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to listen to it.
Because I read that M83 wanted like a big space rock sound, and he's like, well, I'm gonna go with Steve Vai. Steve Vai gave him three versions,
and then
he kind of put two of the versions.
Right, they comped it
on the song.
They comped it. Well, if you've ever been in the studio, and if you've ever done any kind of like long form guitar solo stuff, you do end up comping things.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen. Although there are some amazing non comped solos, but you wouldn't really know if the technology is good enough, and if you're skillful enough, you really wouldn't know if they've put it together. So
at the end of this, I say, don't doubt your pick of the week gut, because that was nice.
Oh, good. I appreciate
it's
that.
It's no cake by the ocean.
No,
but I enjoyed
and
that.
There won't be. And by the way, could they please come out with another song? Because did you see the iHeart thing? They did it with Nile Rodgers and proved that it was actually LaFreak. So if they could come out with something else, that would be good, and then I could redeem myself once again.
Okay, we're gonna take one more time out, and when we come back, it is time to play Ask Lyle.
Jim is my enemy, but it turns out that Jim is also his own worst enemy, and the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So Jim is actually my friend, but because he is his own worst enemy, the enemy of my friend is my enemy. So actually, Jim is my enemy.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jim Shear.
And I'm Lyle Pressler.
Yeah, Lyle Pressler on the other end there. And it is time to play Ask Lyle.
Ask Lyle.
My favorite spot.
I got a special treat for you today.
Oh, God.
I got on Twitter and I said, hey, Lyle and I are doing the show today. Anybody have questions? And
no, Jamie, seriously?
Yes, Jamie Josta, frontman of Hatebreed, tweeted a question for you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay,
yeah.
Here we go.
I'm like, damn, I didn't even know Jamie Josta read my tweets. So I'll save his question for the end. So my first question, if you and Ian MacKaye were to hang out today in New York City, where would you go to eat and would you have ice cream afterwards?
Oh my. Yeah, no, that's it's funny that you say that because, I mean, obviously most people know that Ian is a vegan. And so I assume we would go to a place where they serve vegan food. And as far as ice cream's concerned, I don't think that people eat, I don't think vegans eat ice cream. But I will tell you the funny story is that Fugazi was in New York City at one point years ago, and they went into a Chinese restaurant, and I think that they didn't want to be strictly vegan, but they were just going to order vegetarian stuff. So they went to this Chinese restaurant and they said, you know, they asked about this dish and the waiter assured them that it was meat free. And so it shows up and it has pork in it. So they called over the waiter and they said, you know, there's a problem with this. It has meat in it. We asked for vegetarian food. And the waiter, like, obviously had a bit of an issue or there's some issue and went and got the maitre d's. And she came over and she uttered the famous phrase, which we repeat all the time in my household, which is, "Why you lie? Why you lie?" And the story's a little bit more involved than that, but I'm telling the short version of it. But yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, why you lie? And so, and in my household, we say that all the time. But yeah, I suspect that we would have to go to some sort of vegan place. I don't think we'd be going to Papaya King.
So they were accusing Fugazi of lying?
Yeah, because they said...
But isn't the proof right there? Like, no, here's a piece of pork.
Well, actually, the thing about it, Jim, is it was right across the street from where you worked for many years. It was that Ollie's place.
Okay.
Okay, that Chinese restaurant that used to be there, right across the street from 1515. And they said, you know, we really didn't say there was a problem. We just said, you know, can you take this dish away and can we have something with vegetables? And the woman was like, why you lie? Why you lie? Why you not?
Like, we're not lying.
I know. They were like, we're not lying and we don't really care, but just, can you just get this out of here? I mean, it's funny because, you know, I mean, when you're a vegan, you can go one of two ways in life. You can either go completely full on like crazy, or you can sort of go that way and be that way, but you also allow for the modern world.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of a story. Like, I mean, we're going to go way long here, but I used to ride the PATH train from Hoboken to New York City every day. And frequently, for some reason, I would be in a car with this wonderful goth girl. And she was as goth could be. I mean, she had everything about her was completely perfect. Perfect. And then then one night I was coming back from the city and I was on the train and I happened to step into the car, which had goth girl on it. Mm-hmm. And she was carrying a Pizza Hut pizza box, one of those little personal pan pizza boxes.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just felt so bad for her because there was no way that box was going to integrate with what she was doing. Like, it was as if you took, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, as if it was a black building and you put a white tarp on it. It was like, it was so bad. And I looked at her, which I always did. I looked at her and you would always kind of nod at her. And I looked at her and I just felt depressed for her. Just so depressed that she was carrying this god-awful box.
And then you became goth because of that.
No, I didn't. But I've always had such respect for goth people because it's so hard.
No, yeah, of course.
It's so difficult to carry that on.
I think of a goth boy who maybe had a crush on her, and then she brings that Pizza Hut box,
and it's over.
He's like, ah, oh, forget.
I mean, you
me.
Didn't.
I thought you were different.
And she would have had to like stopped and gone into a hardware store and bought some spray paint and like spray painted the box black. And it would have been, that would have been amazing in and of itself.
It would have been an art piece.
But see, then she would have pulled it off completely. But it was just so stark. And I just remember, and as cynical and bad a person as I am, and I am cynical and I am bad and I'm very judgmental, I felt bad for her. I can remember feeling bad for her.
All right. My next question.
Yes.
When is the last time you performed live?
Oh, I think it was
on a stage.
Yeah, it was about three. You see, when you get old, you have trouble remembering years. But it was 3 or 4 years ago in Central Park at the summer stage.
Oh, I saw. Yeah.
Yeah, when I played with the Vaccines.
And you did a Minor Threat song, right?
Well, we did a song. We did Sometimes Good Guys Don't Wear White.
Yes.
The Standells. It's a Standells song that I guess Minor Threat sort of resuscitated. You know, it's funny. I would love to meet I'm not sure they're still alive or what they are, but I'd love to meet the Standells guys because I kind of feel like. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I mean, I kind of feel like we kind of resurrected that whole thing, you know, because nobody remembered that song. I mean, nobody. Certainly, I mean, we're talking 1983, 1982. Nobody remembered the Standells at all. And I feel like we kind of resurrected that. So I would love to have met those people and just to talk to him a little bit about it. But that was the last time I played live, if you don't count playing in front of my daughter.
No, yeah, that's actually on YouTube. So you can search Vaccines, Lyle Presler, Central Park Summer Stage.
And I think we've actually talked about this, but one of the funny things was that those guys could not be, by the way, they could not be nicer people. Unfortunately, for Americans especially, they fall into that category of bands that you see when you turn on MTV Live and you watch, one of those shows where they have festivals and there's all these British bands you've never heard of.
Yep.
Isn't there one called, is it Kasabian? What's the name?
Yeah, Kasabian, yeah.
And they're huge. Like, they're just gigantic, but nobody knows who they are. And so the Vaccines are kind of like one of those bands that everyone talks about in England, but nobody talks about here at all.
How did that collabo happen?
It's interesting because what happened was that they actually they somehow met my wife and they found out that I was in Minor Threat and they contacted. She said she gave them my email address and they contacted me. And the really funny part about it and the self-deprecating part about this whole thing, and you can watch it. But interestingly enough, what happened was I walked on stage and I'm sure the sound man just decided, I don't know who this guy is, so I'm just going to, I don't know who this guy is, so I'm just going to turn him down. So I don't think I was actually in the mains at all. I mean, I can't hear it anyway, but it doesn't make any difference.
So, I wanted to ask you if you gave any more thought about joining my super group for MCA Day.
I did, in fact. And in fact, I actually got one of my guitars out from upstairs, and I took my upstairs guitar to the downstairs, and I actually started playing it. I was, interestingly enough, I was inspired by a documentary that's out on the cable systems with David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. But yeah, so I pulled one of my guitars out, and I started playing it, and I realized that I can actually still play. So, if you can come up with the appropriate supergroup that does not involve Glenn Danzig, I'll be happy to join.
Well, interesting that you brought up Glenn Danzig's name.
Oh my goodness!
Because it's time for Jamie Justice's question. He said, "What direction did you think Sam Hain or Saw Wynn?" How do you say? Do you say Sam Hain?
Well, I mean, I guess it's strictly speaking, it's Samhain. Samhain.
Yeah.
I mean, but Samhain, you're talking about like Gaelic, you know? I mean, like, where are we going with that?
So, what direction did you think Samhain should go in?
Well, this is actually a really good question, and it gives me an opportunity to talk about the whole thing. I mean, the one thing I want to kind of make clear from the very beginning is, I actually really like Glenn Danzig as an artist. I think he has an amazing voice. I think that Danzig was a great band. I have nothing but respect for the musical part of it. The personal part of it, a little bit different. But that's okay. But that's okay. That's fun. I mean, and I'm sure he has the same, well, actually no, he probably doesn't like anything I did musically either. But whatever. I mean, I'm feeling magnanimous. When we first did the Sam, I'll just say Sam Hain. When we first did the Sam Hain recordings in New Jersey, I had a cassette of that, which I sure wish I still had. And it was it was an early mix of the thing, and in fact, I've talked to other guys from the band and asked them if they had a cassette, and they don't. Because what would happen is you would go into the studio and they would give you a cassette like to take home with you, you know, to listen to, like of the, you know, sort of what they call the, you know, the premixes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, to specifically answer his question, I thought it was a bit Bauhaus. Like what I was trying to do on the guitar was to create kind of like these textures, and I mean, that sounds like now I'm sounding really pretentious, but I mean, it was not Minor Threat. It was not power chords. It wasn't that kind of stuff. It was like trying to do these textured things. And I recall now, again, this is memory, so it's not truth. I recall it sounding really cool and sounding a little bit like sort of, you know, like again, like airy, a little airy, a little ethereal, a little stuff like that. What happened?
So that girl with the Pizza Hut box would really dig this,
she
right?
She probably would have. And it was actually, I mean, I was really proud of it. I mean, when I did it, I was really proud of it. And I remember the guys at the studio saying, "My God, you're really talented. You know, we've had people in here who don't know how to play, and you actually know how to play," which I was like, "Yeah, right. I'm a Steve Vai." But, but obviously they were making money off us too. So it's like, whatever. But what happened was that Glenn and I, you know, eventually just didn't work out. And Glenn got very angry at me. And so what Glenn did was he went into the studio and he overdubbed his own guitar over top of everything. And if you notice, when you look at the Initium album, there's like a little asterisk that's really tiny. It kind of says Loud Presser played on these tracks. And so he preserved like some of my guitar, but basically not anything of consequence. So he just overdubbed everything. So when people ask me, "Did you play on the record?" My answer, the immediate answer is yes, I did. But the real answer is no, I didn't, because my tracks are completely either submerged or they're overdubbed completely and they don't have anything to do with what I play. Again, to go back to the question, you know, I thought it was going to be sort of Bauhaus-like. I thought it was going to be sort of... It was interesting because Glenn once told me that one of his favorite songs, well, at the time, the favorite current song was Synchronicity 2 by The Police. You know, the one that's like, "Many miles away, something crawls to the..." Yeah, and he liked that. He thought that was really cool. So I was kind of thinking, like, it's going to be obviously darker than that. It's going to be obviously different. But I was thinking, like, that was kind of the thing that it would be. The problem was that every time I would write a song, or Brian, who was with me at the time, would write a song, Glenn would just reject them. So it was like kind of like we never got anywhere. And then he wrote all these songs for Sam Hain, and, you know, but I thought that's what it would be. And I thought it would have been kind of cool. Although, I have to say, to be fair to all the fans out there, it was better that it didn't work out, because then Glenn could go and do Danzig. So you wouldn't have had Mother if you'd had me. You would have had Lyle and not Mother. So I think, because Mother is one of my favorite songs, and like, and I love that song, and it would never have happened if I had been involved. So John Christ,
there you go.
More power to you. You know, that was the good thing that came out of all of it.
So that will do it for this week's episode. Once again, if you have questions for Lyle, who is not on Twitter yet, but I am, use the hashtag Ask Lyle, and you don't even have to tag me. Just hashtag Ask Lyle. And
there you go.
Ask him on a future episode. So for Lyle Presler, my name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
So long, farewell, I'll be the same goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.